Good evening. I have the honor and privilege of presenting the last word, and I won't be long, I promise. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The seventh and final word is found in Luke 23:44 through 46, and it reads, "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sunlight failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last." I would like to speak to you from the topic, after his last breath. It was now July 17th, 2014, at about 3:30 p.m. Nine police officers surrounded Eric Garner as the dark legacy of white supremacy loomed over Garner's sun-kissed skin. Flesh hits concrete and clothing seams tear as the officers tackled Garner to the ground. A hand of unmitigated power wraps itself around a child of God and denies that child access to one of the most fundamental human necessities, oxygen. Then Garner, crying with a loud voice, said, "I can't breathe." Having said this, he breathed his last. Just 2.6 miles away, I was a bright-eyed senior student at Wagner College in Staten Island, New York. The news of Garner's death shook the core of the earth beneath me and tore the veil of my double consciousness. Without hesitation, I immediately joined the cause, but I constantly questioned if I was doing enough. I could hardly stomach the broadcasted images of a beloved son of God forsaken and lifeless on a Staten Island sidewalk. I began to wonder, how does one respond to the unjust and systemic lynchings of the marginalized? After the officers of the temple police surrounded Jesus with swords and clubs just a chapter before, we find Jesus in our text for this evening, near death on a Calvary tree. Betrayed by the very person that swore to protect and serve him, Jesus is suffocated by the systems that carefully watched his every move, waiting for an opportunity to exterminate him in the hope of his community. The skies begin to mourn as the curtain of separation was torn in two, and in the middle of this tear, Jesus speaks his last words in the liminal space between the Holy One and an unholy world, between sour wine and sweet resurrection, hanging between two sinners, repentant and non-repentant. Here Jesus musters the strength to evoke the words of Psalm 31, saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," releasing himself into the sovereign hands of the Father. Having said this, he breathed his last. As important as this moment is, I believe the response to this moment is also important. After his last breath, Luke 23:47 reads, "When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And when all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things." Now, as I prepared to preach the last word of Jesus, I could not stop thinking about the response to the last word of Jesus. That very same question I had as a college student in Staten Island haunted my meditations on this subject. How does one respond to the unjust and systemic lynchings of the marginalized? How does one act after his last breath? In this biblical moment, I believe we get three distinct examples of how one can respond. The first response is that of the centurion. The centurion was a Roman official and non-believer positioned opposite of Jesus. But when he saw Jesus breathe his last, he praised a God he didn't know and declared that certainly this man was innocent. As a representative of the majority and occupying power of Rome, the centurion models for us the response of a good ally. Although he didn't look like Jesus or come from the same community as Jesus or worship the same God as Jesus, he spoke out against the injustice. The centurion, literally meaning commander of 100 soldiers, models for us how one can use their privilege to intercede for and stand alongside the oppressed. The second response comes from the crowds. This large mass of people that just a few moments ago shouted, "Crucify him," saw what happened and returned home beating their breast. Scholars note that these crowds found in Luke were mainly neutral until swayed by religious and political leaders, swayed by Facebook and Instagram timelines, swayed by the divisive rhetoric and Twitter fingers of the leader of their nation, swayed by the legalistic and disordered declarations of religious people. And this mixed crowd of ratchet and righteous responds by beating their breasts in repentance and returning home. Saying nothing, changing nothing, they understood this injustice but went back home. Went back to their own spaces of comfortability, went back to their gated communities and exclusionary institutions, went back to their practices of criminalizing, victim blaming, and willful ignorance. Absurd. And finally, the third response was from the woman and acquaintances of Jesus. They were a part of his own community and lived with him and ate with him and had brothers, fathers, husbands, friends that looked like him. And as Jesus breathed his last breath, the woman and acquaintances of Jesus stood at a distance. Perhaps overcome with trauma and disbelief, this community stood there collectively mourning the loss of one of their own. I can imagine that hearing his last words and watching him take his last breath grieved them beyond belief. So instead of immediately responding, they took a step back in self-care. They took a step back to address their wounds, to check on their loved ones, to collect their thoughts. But they also watched. Different than the Greek word to gaze used to describe the centurion and the crowds, the word used for this group was to see. Rather than gazing at the atrocity, they see it. They fundamentally grasp the gravity of this moment and embody it in their very being. They see it with their eyes and their ears and their hearts and their very souls, carrying the weight of this tremendous loss. They see it for what it is, an unjust and systemic lynching, and later do the work of preparing their beloved for burial. Friends, I believe nestled in the last words of Jesus is the response to the last words of Jesus that we shall never forget. Because these responses have been resurrected countless times as body after body is slain at the hands of bigotry. Far too often, the response of the crowd sanctions the murder of kings and queens while keeping their murderers on the payroll. Now, 5 years later, the officer that asphyxiated Eric Garner still receives a six-figure salary. However, I believe with his last words, his last breath, and his last act on this earth, Jesus gives us the option to choose how we want to respond. I've made my choice. Have you? Amen.